I have to admit, I think I'm on a scary streak. I think it's the second 10-minute chassidus in a row. The history behind it is, a couple weeks ago, a Breslover chassid came to my house a couple of weeks ago. He was trying to sell me. I had a book with Sipurei Maisius of Rabbi Nachman. When I was a teenager, I tried looking at it and I thought it was really strange, the Sipurim. And only later, when I got only a year ago, when I got some explanation of what was going on, I realized that the Sipurei Maisius are quite something very special. And so this Breslover Chassid came by, and I only had six of the Sipurei Maisius. I asked him to sell me the whole thing. And then he gave me for free, he convinced me to buy something else, and then he gave me for free, stuck this in my hand. And stuck in my hand. Okay. We were doing a sugya in Gittin in the Old City, and we had in the sugya a beautiful hesber of the Tiferes Yaakov. Tiferes Yaakov was a gon in Varsha, a very, very important dayan paisik in Varsha. So I went to Meir Sharm to buy Tiferes Yaakov. And I walked into a few stores in Meir Sharm, and they didn't have the Tiferes Yaakov. So I sat down in a falafel store. I bought a falafel. And sure enough, this jumps out at me sitting on the table, the exact same pamphlet that the Breslover Chassid pressed into my hand. So we're no longer learning Tiferes Yaakov anymore, and this is Sugyas and Gittin, and this is what we're doing. But with all kidding aside, there was a beautiful, beautiful Yisod. The kidding also has a message behind it as well. But with all the kidding aside, I think that there is a message that I saw from Talmidim in Breslov that I wanted to share with you tonight. Breslovers have a fascinating mahalach. These are Hasidim. This doesn't come from Rabbi Nachman himself. That the pasuk says in regards to Yosef HaTzadik. We'll continue talking about Yosef HaTzadik. Vayi Hashem es Yosef, vayi ish matzliach. Says in Medrash Rabbah, gever kofiz. And there's a big discussion in the Medrash, what does it mean, gever kofiz? Shenemar, the pasuk says, on the word matzliach, v'tzolchu ayardein lefnei ha-melech. So the Medrash, according to some, the word kofiz means to jump. See how Breslover Chassidim understand it? That Yosef HaTzadik used to dance. Everywhere he went, he danced. Says Rav Arush, a very, very powerful observation. Kol Echod Tzarech, I'm not telling you to join the next van that's dancing. That's not even what he's driving at. I'm not going to finish the end of the sentence. As you're going to see, that's not the definition of simcha. We'll go on to be masbir. Kol echot sorich lahafnim esei snagu shel Yosef HaTzadik. Hushar v'shar kol maichayav. Tamid ha-yoholech b'rikudim. Zorku oso lebor shel nechoshim v'akrabim. They threw him into a pit. V'ashem yitzil oso. But at every single time, every moment that he was at, Yosef HaTzadik was singing and he was dancing. And Rav Arush makes a very powerful observation. He points out that Rashi tells us right before the Torah describes Matzliach, and according to the Breslover of our Avon, it means Slach, Gever Kofiz, it means he danced. Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, Rashi says Hashem es Yosef, that Yosef was constantly quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Arush points out, Simcha and Emuna go hand in hand. A person who is a real Baal Emuna realizes that no matter where they are, in the deepest pit, in a prison with a bunch of ugly criminals, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a reason that He put him there, and he needs to find, and this is a very important word that we're going to work with, he needs to find meaning in why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in that position. What do we really know? Now they say that there was a little child who, fictionally, he had a conversation with God. He said, God, is it true that the whole world that we see, to you, everything is much smaller. What seems big to us, to you, is really small. So God says to him, it's true. He said, God, how much is $1 million to you? No, more than that. $1 billion. God says it's like a penny. And how much is 5,000 years? So God says, like a second to me. So the kid says, God, can I have a penny? And God says back to him, in a second. This is not a joke. It's a yesod and emuna. Because God's second is 5,000 years, then what it means is that a lot of times we don't see the entire picture. On a level of pshat, the entire picture is that Yosef HaTzadik is creating a salvation for all of Klal Yisrael. Rav Arush continues, Api Kabbalah, V'zel Yoratzin Hashem, Sheyosef HaTzadik Yeirei Lebar L'siyah Klipas, L'siyah Cheshech Shel Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik goes to the place that's the darkest. V'yodua Sherak B'zchus Yosef V'oman B'nisyonis HaKoshim Golkach Yochol Am Yisrael L'igol B'mitzrayim. The reason why you, when you're going to be put into a Nisayim, when you're going to go through experience in Mitzrayim, and you're going to come out and be Omid B'Nisayim, is because Yosef HaTzadik paved that way for you. And it was the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give to Yosef and could give to us to put him in those situations. Personally, when I finished college, I applied to two graduate schools. My wife was in undergrad. She was in Brooklyn College. In undergrad, I was already done with college. I learned in the kollel in our great yeshiva for a year. And I applied to Brooklyn College. We lived a block away from Brooklyn College. We lived in Brooklyn. I traveled all the way to Manhattan every day. And I applied to Columbia. Strangest thing in the world happened. I got rejected by Brooklyn and I got accepted in Columbia. Go figure. But I first got my rejection letter from Brooklyn. And I was devastated because at the time, I thought that it would be very easy. I'd go to Kollel near the house, and I'd be right next to the college. I had no idea how I was going to afford to be able to live in Manhattan if I was going to go to Columbia. Because I didn't get into Brooklyn College, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Nisim for us, and I lived on the Upper West Side. And then I eventually, only because of that, I became a Rebbe in YU, because I continued in YU. Sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a rejection notice, sometimes that is the biggest bracha in our lives. But this yisod really begs a deeper question. There's no question that this yisod of Breslov is 100% MS. And that is the key to a person's simcha, is a person realizing that at the end of the day there's a bigger picture that's at play. And these are dvarim pshutim. But let's go a little deeper. And that is, what exactly is the definition of simcha? Does Rav Arush just mean that he was stam dancing around? It can't be. If he means that, he's wrong. It can't be what it means. So what is the definition of simcha? So the Maharal, I'm going to summarize the Maharal in three different places. Baruch Hashem, I have nachas when the Talmidim take notes. I see some people taking notes. I can't get involved with all these Maharal Mekomos, but for posterity, I give you three Maharal Mekomos and three different Svarim of the Maharal. Nowadays, it's a lot easier to learn Maharal because of Rav Hartman. The Maharal in Tferes Yisrael, Perek Lamed. The Maharal in Be'er Agola, Be'er Dalid. And the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Chav Gimel, all give us what I'm going to Be'ezer Hashem try to summarize as the Maharal's understanding of what Simcha is all about. I'm going to focus on one of the Maharal's, and the Maharal is the last one that I mentioned, Eretz Yisrael Perichov Gimel. The Maharal describes that Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Zeira, and he was in a great mood. Gemara Bracha Staf Lamed on the base. And Rabbi Zeira says to him, Rabbi Yirmiyah, why are you so happy? He seems to be almost critical that he's almost in too good of a mood. And he answers, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I have tefillin on my head. Asks the Maharal, what exactly does that mean? If anything, when a person has tefillin on his head, he's b'kovid rosh, what does he mean he's b'simcha? And the Maharal says the following, Ki ha'odom asheru chomri gashmi ein ro'ui el ha'simcha, ki ha'simcha shayeches el ha'nefesh ha'nivdeles. Simcha cannot exist in a state in which a person is incomplete. And you and I, as material beings, as corporeal beings, can't be besimcha in the olam asiyah, in the corporeal world. Tefillin, the Maharal goes on to explain, is the way in which man raises his head up, and his head is bashamayim, to paraphrase the Maharal. And it's a union of his neshama and his guf. And the Maharal writes that when it comes to the definition of simcha, there are two parts. There is the union of the upper worlds and the lower worlds, number one. And number two is that the definition of simcha is not what we would call simply joy. Simcha is shleimus, consistency, completion. That is the definition of simcha. A person cannot be besimcha if God is not in the equation. That's what Yosef HaTzadik is telling us. I am besimcha because I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the equation. That's the depth of Yosef HaTzadik. Rabosai, I'm holding one of the most important Musar books in the world. It's written by a Jewish person who experienced Klal Yisrael in one of its holiest moments. I believe he was an Ish Ruchani Bahart. I don't know if he ever put on tefillin. And it's Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. If you're in your first year, second year in yeshiva, and you haven't found a Musar Sefer that speaks to you, I challenge you to first read this book, and then read Mesillas Yesharim, and I guarantee you'll love both. Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Holocaust who was a psychiatrist prior to the war. It's one of the most important books in the world of psychology today. After the war, in 9 days, he wrote a book. He wanted to make his observations as a psychiatrist what he saw in the Holocaust. He wrote the book in 9 days, and it says that it's been 12 million copies have been sold since it was printed in 1945. And it's a required reading in most graduate schools in psychology. I'm going to read you one line Viktor Frankl writes in the entire book. By the way, time after time again, I comb through the book to try to find how could I, you know, nowadays, if it's longer than 10 minutes, you're not allowed to listen. So how do I find in, it's hard, I really can't. But what I'm going to do is read one line from Viktor Frankl, and then I'm going to read Harold Kushner summarize the book with three very important premises. And we're going to come back to the lessons of Yosef HaTzadik as Rav Arush was trying to develop. The line that I found to share with you that Frankl describes about what the Holocaust, if we put in one sentence, what the experience of the Shoah taught him. We had to learn ourselves, he writes on page 77, and we had to teach our friends that were despairing that it did not really matter what we expected from life, but rather what life expected from us. Man's search for meaning is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you in a situation. That situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put you in, there's a reason for it. For some, it might be a situation that's joyous, and chas v'chalila, for some, there's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts one in a situation that's painful. I can't understand why some might tell me they have suffered so deeply that they have. But I do know that there must be a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in that situation. I can't fathom myself. Harold Kushner summarized that what the words, man's search for meaning, is that Frankl saw that there are three possible sources for meaning. And Rabosai, this is a yesod in Ruchnius. Number one is that at a person's work, if he does something that's significant, that's one. Number two is in love, and love doesn't mean the Hollywood definition of love. Love means caring for another person. And number three is courage. In another instance, we could be ma'arich exactly how those things are dvarim sha'omdim b'yisodo shel olam, but in halacha and hashkafa as well. In fact, the Maharal, I'll just add to the second one, the Maharal speaks about shleimus when he talks about kol sasam v'kol simcha. Marriage. Marriage is shleimus. Marriage is about giving to somebody else when a person is no longer in their selfish state. So meaning, in Viktor Frankl's words, so as not to sound too from, he doesn't use the word shlemus, but that's exactly what he's describing. He's describing the Maharal's definition of simcha. And there were people in the concentration camps who were living b'simcha. He says that when he noticed those from Jews huddled together, chapping a perek of tefillin together, he said that that was one of the most meaningful experiences that he was only able to feel the power from on the outside. Rabosai, what this means practically is something very, very important. I heard this from the Piskei Tshuvos. The Piskei Tshuvos is known as being one of the most important sefer in halachos today. He was the first one that taught me this idea from the Maharal. And he gave a very powerful example. He said he was talking in a shul of people who were working men. And he said to them, do you go to the shir and fall asleep? He said, it doesn't make any sense. Shleimus is that a person is complete in his place and in his time. He says, Memanev Shach. If you're supposed to be in the shir now, then you should be learning. If you're supposed to be sleeping, and there's a reason to sleep, man needs sleep. The Rambam writes, a person needs 7-8 hours a day. That you should be sleeping. How many people are going through life because they've been put on a train and that train keeps on going and keeps on going? That's a person who might be from on the outside, but their life, every moment of a person's life is full of meaning. And according to Frankl, should be doing one of these three things. And that's simcha. Simcha is, I am here now, I am with Kudsh Abrichu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the equation, and I'm shalem. I'm doing what my neshama is supposed to be doing at this particular time. That's the definition of simcha. And that's what Yosef HaTzadik was living. Yosef also danced. Because when you feel that on the inside, it could come out on the outside too. But it doesn't start with the outside, it starts with the inside. Some people are on that train. You're not happy in the yeshiva that you're at. Talk it over with somebody. If you're supposed to be there, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw you in there, if you're like Yosef HaTzadik and you're in the bar and you can't get out, then that means you're supposed to be there and you're supposed to be Mekadesh it. And if you can get out, then you're a coward if you don't. If that's really not the place for you. You know, they say that there was a girl who came home from college, and she said to her father, "said I'm so excited. I finally met the guy of my dreams." And she starts describing. The father says, "I just have one question." He asks her, "Does he have money?" So she smiles and she says, "Dad, you guys are all the same. That's the first question that he asked me about you. You have men that are on this train, and that's the only question that there's on their minds. What a tragedy. And you think that money's going to buy you simcha?" The Piskei Tshuvos was talking at that time in the replica of Chabad, 770 in Ramat Shlomo. And he turned to Lubavitcher Chassid. It was so beautiful to watch. I'm not a Chabad Chassid. And whenever I quote Lubavitcher Rebbe, I'm very makbid to say, Zatzal, Zecher Tzadik, Luvracha. And there are many things in Chabad that do make me feel uncomfortable. But it was very beautiful to watch. The Piskei Tshuvos turned to the Chassidim and he said, "I heard something about the Lubavitcher Rebbe." He said, "I heard," he didn't call the Lubavitcher, he called him the Rebbe. The Piskei Tshuvos is a Chassid. He said, "I heard something about the Rebbe. I heard that the Rebbe never yawned. No one ever saw him yawn." And all of a sudden, all the Chassidim were nodding to each other. They were laughing. That's Dvar Yiduim in Chabad. That they used to observe every action of the Rebbe, and they observed that the Rebbe never yawned. Explain the Piskei Tshuvos, you know why the Rebbe never yawned? Because if he's up, then he has a shlichus from Kudsh Abrichu, he's besimcha. And if he's supposed to be sleeping, he said, "What's a yawn? Kol atzmoy soy taimarna." I'm not saying that we have to be that madrega at this moment, but I am saying that every single one of us has to think about how we define simcha. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives? Simcha is when a person's wearing tefillin. It's not a person that's jumping up and down. It's an internal simcha. When a person wears his tefillin, he could be in a tremendous simcha with that COVID rush. If you see great men, their insides are shining. Their insides are besimcha. It comes out in a measured way besimcha at times as well. But that's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been brought into the equation at every single moment. And if chas v'chalil we have those obstacles and we have a scary time, then that's our opportunity to learn from Yosef HaTzadik and to be mekadesh achoshech, to sanctify darkness not only for ourselves but for future generations as well. Be'ezras Hashem, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give every single one of this special kayach of Yosef HaTzadik.